Hey everyone, and welcome back to another video from Amar Talks NRL Supercoach. In today's video, going through my updated team reveal in the preseason, recording this a day after the first TLT for the two matches in Vegas. And next week, obviously, we'll try to do a final team reveal once we have a little bit more information from the other six teams, or more six matches, I should say, team lists. If you do enjoy the video, give it a thumbs up. Do please consider subscribing to the channel already if you haven't. Do follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter. All my socials should all be in the description below. Join the league as well. Without further ado though, let's get into my team. So currently with the squad that I've got 42.3k in the bank. So a little bit of flexibility with things that I could do because I'm definitely not locked into any. There's a few positions I am locked in, but a lot of it isn't quite locked in yet. With the hooker slot, very up in the air at the moment. I did have a draft recently that did have Harry Grant, but it really required a lot of, you know, cheapies that I'm just not very certain of, and just a lot of downgrades in positions that I just really couldn't find alternatives that I liked. To make the team look how I'm okay with it right now, I had to sacrifice Harry Grant, which wasn't ideal. Gone with Coruscant, he's got the bye round one, but we got confirmation in the trials that he's goal kicking. So I'm kind of looking at it as the Tigers actually have a pretty favorable draw for the opening rounds. Rounds 2 to 6, we've got Canberra, Sharks, Parramatta, Dolphins, and then the Dragons. Now, point scoring may not be at its peak, but look, there's at least some favourable games in there. Hopefully the Tigers at least score maybe 3 to 4 tries in a couple of those games, and Appy gets some extra points from goal kicking, and hopefully he can be a little bit of a stepping stone to Grant, because I'm looking at Grant's draw. It is a bit tough until round 6. I'm really hoping that Coruscant can do enough just to make some money and potentially be a bridge to Harry Grant. I'm not holding out a lot of hope for that. I'm kind of keeping the back of my head. I may have to just spend the full, close to 200k to get to Grant. But Coruscant for me is currently the starter in terms of the gun. Cheaper option, Brendan Hands. Look, we still don't really have much confirmation from Brad Arthur about the potential 80-minute role that he quoted in the preseason about whether it would be Hands or Lussick. At the moment, I've gone Hands. He's the more expensive guy. I can always downgrade to Lussick if he turns out to be the one. Definitely a risk associated with this because we just don't yet have the round one team list. So this one is very much up in the air. That round one team list for the Eels is going to be very telling. If one of those two is named and there's no other bench hooker, they'll be straight into my team as a second hooker option. If they're both named, then I may have to ditch both of them, and I might just have to go really cheap at hooker, get like a Danny Levi, which I'm not thrilled about, but he could be maybe just a cheap hooker option to free up some cash, or I still go with someone like Brendan Hands and hopefully capitalize on a good draw for the Eels. So I'm sure a lot of you are in the same position with your hookers. Not many options. It's really Grant. On Jeremy Marshall-King, he was in my original team. I think the injury to Tom Gilbert is going to be pretty big for the Dolphins. They do have an early bye as well. So I'm kind of looking at it as, you know, he is going to be more attacking stat reliant. He wasn't that great in the trials, so I'm kind of cooled off on him just a little bit, and I'm kind of thinking it's either going to be one of Grant or Coruscant. And then Jaden Brayley, just to quickly touch on him, he may not even be fit for round one. He's picked up a hamstring injury in the offseason, so he's probably not even going to be an option as an alternative to Brendan Hand. So really dire at the moment with the hooker spot. Neither of these two are definitely locked in. Dash is currently the setup that I've gone for in my team. Next up, front row forwards. One of these four spots is locked in, Sam Hughes. I'm going to do a cheapy video. I've actually prepped it already, but I may potentially wait on uploading that until we actually get the round one team list for next week as well. But Sam Hughes, I think, is going to be one of the better cheapies that we've got this year. Seems to be in line to play a decent minute role for the Bulldogs. Looked good on the eye test as well in the preseason trials, so he's in there. And I've made the decision to not use him, though, as like my front row forward too. I know some people would be considering that. The reason I'm not is just that if it doesn't go well, then it really leaves me inflexible to have any scope to move around in my front row forward. So I've tried to structure the team to have a little bit of fun still in that spot. The two starters I've got, though, is Jai Arrow and Terrell May, both actually playing in Vegas. So there is some part of me that is thinking, do I want to lock both of these guys in my front row forward when we don't have full information about other teams? So this is definitely still something I'm toying with. Of the two, I'm probably a little bit more keen on Jai Arrow. I think, obviously, he's been named to start for the Rabbitohs on the edge. Talis Duncan hasn't been named in the entire 17. Rabbitohs do have a four forward bench, but there's Jacob Host on the bench who could play some edge, so I don't think Arrow is going to be an 80-minute edge back rower. I suspect him to be playing 55 to 60, maybe slightly more, 65 minutes. With his PPM on the edge, I probably think he's going to be around a 50, low 50s average, which for his price is going to be fine. He's priced at a 45.7 average, so I'm kind of thinking there's maybe 5 to 8 points of value. So not looking at him as a massive cash cow, just to kind of hold the fort in that front row forward spot. He does have dual as well, which is handy. Of the other kind of cheaper front row forwards, there was Harm Sele, there's Terrell May, there's Tavita Totola. Because I've made the current decision to go with Arrow, I didn't want to double up and go with Totola as well. So Terrell May, I've gone with him, named on the bench for the Roosters. Spencer Lenu has been named to start. Obviously, the Roosters forwards in general, minutes-wise, is really hard to tell at the moment. The one thing with Terrell May is that his PPM was good. So from last year, I kind of feel like at 430k, he could at least stay at value. If there's any scope for some extra minutes, I don't mind the fact that these guys are playing in Vegas. It seems to be like a smaller field, potentially more defense as well. So I'm kind of thinking maybe there's a chance that for forwards, Vegas could actually be a good thing. And I know obviously we're not picking a team for just one round, it's for a longer term. But I do like that neither of these two guys have a buy early on as well. So Terrell May is just in there kind of at the moment. It was really him or Harm Sele. Flegler was in my one of my original teams. I've gone slightly off of him as well. Just, Tom Gilbert being out for the Dolphins could potentially open up more minutes for him. But they do have an early buy as well. And I wasn't completely thrilled with, I guess, what I saw. It didn't seem to be offloading, which is kind of what I was hoping for. And with Terrell May, he seems to be more of an offloader, tackle buster. So I'm thinking just take the money saving in this instant. I do have 42K in the bank. So if I want to go from, like, say, Arrow to Flegler, that could be something I do. With my fourth bench front row forward, McKaylee from the Cowboys, he's been promoted to the top 30. Colin Hess looks to be out, injured as well. I don't actually have a firm update on the timeline of when he's going to be out or how long he's going to be out for. But McKaylee did look good in the trials, and so kind of just hoping at the moment that if he just gets a bench spot, he's 230K. And if it's a long-term injury to Colin Hess, there could be some minutes there. Luciano Leilua has also left the Cowboys as well. That's another couple of reasons why I'm thinking McKaylee could at least just be one of the better cheapy options in the front row forward. So he's just there as a front row forward four. Viliami Fifita was there for a long time, but with Luciano Leilua going to the Dragons, I think Fifita's minutes seem to be more at risk. And at bottom dollar, he really feels like someone who, if he doesn't end up being in the team longer term, just becomes a headache that's sitting there on your bench. McKaylee hopefully has a longer stint in the team. So that's kind of why at the moment I've gone with him as my fourth front row forward. Second row forward is definitely an interesting position for me, and that this one has probably been playing on my mind a lot because two of the players who I originally had, Bo Fermor and Josh Curran, neither of them are in my team currently. And I'm not thrilled about that, to be honest, because I do think Curran, even if he was coming off the bench, is a good option. Like, I think he scored about 32 points in 25 minutes in his second trial stint, and he was also reportedly sick. I think coming off the bench, as if he still manages to play like 50, 55 minutes off the bench, that's perfectly fine. And he's on the cheaper end as well. I think he's 421K. So I'm definitely open still to getting Curran. I do think he's a good option for Supercoach. And Bo Fermor should be playing on the left for the Titans as well. So that's another thing that I really like. Hylam Luki, though, had to make way for one of the two because what I saw, with Luciano Leilua leaving the Cowboys, even before, honestly, before that, I saw that second trial, I put Luki into my team because I mentioned it in that second row forward video. When he gets the minutes, he's a really quality second row forward option. He's got a good game for Supercoach. He's got some attacking upside. Got one of the better base power PPMs as well of these mid-rangers. I think it was 0.79. So Luki went straight into my team. Cowboys have got a decent draw. No early buys as well. So he went straight in as soon as Leilua left the Cowboys, and he looked good in the trials as well. So he made his way in. Sean Lane, now he's been a lock for probably a lot of people all preseason. I mean, didn't play 80 minutes in the second trial for the Eels, so it's slightly concerning. Hopefully we get some news about that. I think if we don't hear anything, though, I probably will end up just starting with him because I do think over time he will become an 80-minute back row for the Eels, and they do have a good draw as well. And I think this is not one I don't to overthink too much. If he's named round one to start, just trust that he's kind of ready to go, and so he'll be in my team. Piakura, there was some doubts about him coming into round one for Vegas, but he seems to be getting the all clear. He was named as well for the Broncos. I'm high on him more for the fact that Broncos do have a tough start to the year. He's not necessarily a base stat heavy guy, but we saw enough in he did score a double in one of the trial. I think, was it a double? It was he definitely scored at least one try in the first trial, and he looked pretty good. So at the moment, I look at him more as certainty of role. I think he's going to be an 80-minute back rower. When we've got a couple of doubts about the likes of Curran, Fermo, I do think would also be an 80-minute back rower, but he does have a bye in round two. That's kind of the couple of swing factors that have made me keep Piakura and not have Curran and Fermo at the moment, but that's definitely subject to change. Morgan Smithies, he wasn't in my original team. He's made his way in there because of some news that reportedly Corey Horsburgh, when he comes back from his suspension, will be making his play. He will be playing in the prop position, which could keep Smithies at lock, which is very enticing. I put more of a deep dive into him in the second row forward video, so do check that out if you haven't already. But he just seems to be like a prototypical just tackle bot, makes a lot of tackles in the middle, makes a decent amount of runs, doesn't really do much else outside of tackle busts and offloads, but he's priced an average of 33.8, and I pulled some numbers from the Super League. If you break it down per game average, it's around kind of 45 to 50. So we're looking at some decent value there potentially in him, at least for the first 2 to 3 weeks. I suspect him to be more like a 50-point scorer. Obviously, there is still risk with Ricky Roulette. You know, he loves to play around with the minutes of his forwards, but looks good in the trials. And if this news about Horsburgh moving to the forwards is true, props, then Smithies I'm happy with. And look, if it doesn't work out, at least he's at a value that's not super, super low. If we need to find money to move up to like a Josh Curran, that's what, 70K? It's not the worst thing in the world. If a cheapie emerges, then we can move down to him. There's some flexibility there. Even if it's, for example, I don't even know, but like say Sean Kepi comes out and kills it and he becomes almost a must. I've got Jai Arrow there. I can use that duel to flip Smithies to a front row forward. So another reason why I also like Arrow is that flexibility of the duel. Jamin Salmon has come in there now as well for the Bulldogs. He was starting the most recent trial for the Dogs. Looked pretty good. A bit of a ball playing role is what he had, but still playing in the middle of the field. I suspect him to be making, you know, enough tackles and runs. And 317K feels fairly low risk at the moment. Could be a slow burn. Not expecting him to be like a 200-250K cash growth player, but just could be a steady Eddie. He's also got dual, you know, that switches with Burbo in my centers very handily as well. So another small reason I like him. And Kane Bradley, look, from the Storm, not really too certain about what his role is going to be. He's started both of the trials, but there is Sean Blore waiting in the wings there as well as the new recruit from the Tigers. So he's definitely one that I'm still waiting on for round one team list next week. If he doesn't get named for the Storm, I'll have to figure out a way to move off him. But he's in there at the moment, just kind of hopefully as a placeholder. Even if he's named on the bench, I still may end up going with him. It obviously dents his appeal massively, but fingers crossed he actually gets named to start because we are in dire need for cheapies. Halfback position, this one has changed for my original team as well. Nico Hines is there, absolutely locked. And Nathan Cleary, look, I made the money to get up from Mitchell Moses to Cleary. I kind of talked myself into it when I went into the halfback video. I just will probably sleep better at night knowing I've got these two high upside positions. It's boring. Most teams are going to have this combination, but it's for a reason. Probably the two best players in Supercoach. So don't really need to say much more about them, I think. 5'8", similar argument to what I said for Cleary and Hines. Dual bags, I think he'll be pretty much locked into my round one team. There's really no other 5'8s that interest me. Like Luke Brooks maybe is a potential mid-ranger at 560K. But I you know, you've probably heard this a lot from me. I want to see it before I believe it. I know he's moving to a new, better team than the Tigers. Could potentially do wonders for him. I still feel like Manly will be around Cherry Evans and Turbo. Not sure how much Luke Brooks is going to be involved. Dill bags, I like that they've got a really good draw. Doesn't have a buy until round 9. Just see him as a young gun who's motivated. You know, I've mentioned that in the 5'8 video as well. I like the narrative and I'm going to buy into it. So he's probably going to be my starting 5'8. The backup 5'8 has changed. No longer have KL Weeks. Based on the trials and what we saw, I feel like Ethan Strange will be the guy to get that nod at the 5'8 spot for the Canberra Raiders. Now, I could put Ethan Strange as my backup 5'8. At the moment, I've just put Lockie Galvin, though, as a bit of a, not necessarily enough, but just kind of, I've looked at it as hopefully if he gets a utility bench spot for the Tigers, I'd be happy with that. And he can just be a backup guy at 204K because I'm never really going to play him. I'd always be playing dual bags every single week. And I think it comes down to, you know, the way I could switch it around. We'll get to my centers in a little bit, but I could put Ethan Strange as backup 5'8 and put someone like a Jacob Gagai as my 204K option in my center wing. The only reason I haven't done that is I just feel like there's a little bit more risk with Gagai compared to Galvin from a job security point of view. It's hard to say when I haven't seen yet the West Tigers team list, and we won't see it again till round two. So there is a big risk also with Galvin in that we're waiting an extra week, and then if he doesn't get named round two, then I've kind of almost started with enough. So actually talking out loud, it could be maybe a little bit silly to start with him. It could be better to put Ethan Strange up there. So that's something I could still definitely change in my team. And with Galvin, I guess the counter to not start with him would be you don't actually need to jump on him until round four if he does actually become a viable option. Because of the Tigers have got the buy in round one, their prices won't change until round four. So definitely still subject to change, but effectively what I'm saying is that I'm going to go really cheap in the 5-8 spot. If we don't get Ethan Strange and we get KO Weeks, then I probably will just default to KO Weeks, but not really expect a lot out of KO Weeks, I think. So moving on to the center wing, obviously you can see Ethan Strange there. So what I was kind of toying with before was instead of Ethan Strange, it could be someone like Jacob Gagai, move Ethan Strange then up to my backup 5-8. The only thing with Gagai, I guess, is that job security risks with, you know, it looks like Ty Munro will be back round five from this injury. But even more than that, you've also got Richie Kennard is playing in the centres currently for the Rabbitohs. When Jack Whiten comes back into the team, I think it's round two or round three, Kennard could play on the wing. He has played there before, and that could mean Gagai falls out of the team. Or we could just get someone like Isaac Thompson, who could make his way to the US. He could maybe fill that right wing spot. For me, even if I don't go Galvin, I probably won't end up, I think, going with Gagai because he is bottom dollar, and so I would probably likely take the approach of if he becomes a viable option and sticks around, then I think I would just move down to him. But I probably won't end up starting with Gagai. So that's just a little bit on him, but definitely those kind of cheaper options in the center wing and 5-8 still, they're kind of interlinked with each other. For the rest of the centers, I mean, Talon May, pretty much locked. I've made my feelings clear in him. I think he's a lock. Burbo, similar with him. Drew Hutchinson, now I've kind of changed my narrative and thinking on him versus Bronson Cherry. Is it Cherry or Zeri or I don't even know. So apologies, I'm sure I've butchered that surname too many times. What I failed to recognize when I mentioned Bronson, we're calling Bronson, in the center wing video was the potential return of Connor Tracy, and also Jacob Carraz has been mentioned as potentially playing at center at some point. And Blake Wilson has actually been quite serviceable for the Bulldogs when he's made appearances on the wing. So Carraz could go to center, Connor Tracy could go to the centers. So he doesn't actually have the best job security. It's similar with Hutchinson, you know, Toby Sexton has kind of, you know, Toby Sexton is there in the reserve grades, potentially being a bit of a job security risk to Hutchinson. But I feel like they're more likely to make a change in the centers before they make it at halfback. I could be totally off mark there. But with Hutchinson, he's obviously a little bit more expensive. He's like 10K more expensive. So if I need to make the downgrade, I can. But also good base. That's when he's historically played at halfback. So I think the duel's handy, halfback and center wing. And so he's in there at the moment as well, just as a bit of a cheaper option. And then finally, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. I don't really know how much I need to be talking about him because I think the ownership is climbing and climbing. I think when I recorded the video, he was a bit under 30%. I believe now he's at 33%. The draw is tough for the Warriors, don't get me wrong. They don't have the easiest draw on paper for a center wing. But what I see with the Warriors, I like their attack in the trials. Like, granted, it's trials opposition, but it still seemed to be pretty on song. I liked RTS's involvement bobbing around the field. Now, he's been quoted in a video doing some roaming role. If, heaven forbid, if he gets named at fullback for round one next week, then I think he'll be probably 50% plus owned and probably almost becomes a must-have. He's not a must-have right now because he is currently playing center, but it's just the fact that he looks so good in the trials. I still think the Warriors' attack has looked good. And just his gameplay is suited for Supercoach. Like we saw, I can't remember who he stood up, but he basically created a try when he's playing at fullback, just stepping his opponent. You can easily see him doing that in a game where he has a relatively good work rate and just gets those kind of extra little tackle busts and offloads and things like that. And he's priced at an average of 52.9. I can kind of see him getting that through like good work rate, maybe one attacking stat every one or two games with mixed in with some runs and tackle busts. I can kind of see that 52 average being met for the first 4 to 5 weeks when the draw is tough. So all I would say is probably don't expect him to be going 70s and 80s from the beginning. Draw is hard. I can see him maintaining value, maybe going down a little bit. But if he's doing that, at least for the first 5 weeks, I think I'll still be okay with him. Unless, obviously, I need to try and free up money and fix my team elsewhere. Because the draw will eventually get good for the Warriors. And I think they've shown enough that they can be still a good attacking team. So, vibes as well. We love the vibes of RTS. So, he's in there at the moment. And I have a feeling he'll be there as well, locked in round one. On the bench, Ethan Strange, we've already kind of talked about him. Tuopiki as well from the Warriors. Now, not perfect because he's got a short shelf life of about 4 weeks. CNK could be back in round four from this hamstring strain, I should say. But I kind of mentioned it in the center wing video. Hamstrings feel like a tricky injury. If there's any prolonged delay to CNK's return, then Tuipiki playing fullback for a good team, you know, you could see some decent price rises out of him. And he's at a good price of 277K that you can at least move down to other cheapies if you have to. Like if Jacob Gagai becomes a must all of a sudden, Tuipiki down to him, 70K, and you can actually do something with that money. So he's not quite bottom dollars in that sense. And if he eventually falls out of the team, look, he's not obviously going to be a lot of money in your team to sell elsewhere, but you can still do something with him. And Bo Stock from the Dolphins, I mentioned in my center wing video, I didn't mind having him because at the moment it looks like he's a shorter start on the left wing. Good draw as well for the Dolphins. He does have some job security risks, but what we saw from the trials is that he will have the ability to score a couple of tries. Doesn't have the greatest work rate, so I'm not too keen on playing him in my starting 17. And the way that I've built the team is that I've been able to get him out of the starting 17, which I'm happy with. So he could hopefully just be a bit of a slow burn. But you can see that with center, I've tried to just put in a couple of decent players with value like RTS and Taylor May, and then kind of had to cheap out elsewhere. But that really is because I'm spending big at fullback, which you'll see in a second, halfback, Dill Brown, putting some money into that secondary forward as well. All of a sudden, you really find that your money gets capped quite fast. Now, finally, the fullback, Kalen Ponga. Look, if you've watched my fullback video recently, you know how strongly I feel about him. He's not going anywhere. He'll be there for round one. Surprisingly, though, Scott Drinkwater has made his way into my second fullback spot, not Tom Trbojevic. Now, I'm kind of in two minds here. I've always really been on turbo most of this preseason, but with Drinky's performance and looking to the draw a little bit more, really like the Cowboys draw, and I do think Drinkwater could be a nice little pod. And it's a bit more expensive, so again, same argument. If I need to move off him, I can always move down. The biggest con in my head is, am I overthinking this too much? Am I really just looking at a draw? Am I looking at the draw in too much detail when I do sometimes fall into this trap? I look at the draw very heavily. I try to be too cute with my moves, and I think I'll go drink order. And then, as I said in my fullback video, swap around to turbo after like say 5 or 6 weeks. Am I just setting myself up for a trade inevitably, and is turbo the guy that I actually want? I'm still in two minds. I liked what I saw with the drink order, and I do like the draw as well, despite everything I just said about looking at the draw too much. So at the moment, drink order's in the team. I've got that flexibility that I can still go down to turbo, save myself about 20k. But yeah, that's what I've just got at the moment with drink order. Like turbo, the other slight con is that if he, you know, play in Vegas and that he gets locked in, all of a sudden, if round one team lists come out next week and we just don't have the cheapies that we think we're going to have, then there may be arguments to have to go down in value at fullback. The only other issue with that, though, is that if you wanted to go down in price to fullback from turbo, you'd be probably going to Tedesco or Latrell, and both of those guys would have already locked out for round one, for round zero, I should say. So really, at that point, you're going down to maybe, and Rhys Walsh also would have been locked out. So really, you're going to maybe like a Gutherson, for example. So that's probably not actually the right argument to use for turbo, because there's really not that many fullbacks you'd downgrade to. But at the moment, that's how I've got my setup. Drink order, a bit of a pod. I liked what I saw from the Cowboys as well in the trials, so happy to start with them. Unfortunately, we didn't see turbo at all in the trials, and if he looked good, look, I'd probably still be sticking with him. Now, in terms of the kind of makeup of my team as to who are the locks, just added some kind of lock symbols. Sam Hughes, Lukey, and Sean Lane, I think, are pretty much close to locks in my forwards. A lot of those other spots are still kind of up for debate. Smithies is looking closer and closer to one. I'd say Piakura also has a fairly good chance of being there round one as well. Front row forwards completely up in the air, as with the hooker spot, because we just need to see what happens with those Eels guys. Halfback and Dill Brown, I think they're all pretty much locked. In the centres, Taylor May, Burbo, definitely locked. Ponga is definitely locked. Honestly, I could probably throw a lock symbol on RTS. I don't think I'll be moving off of him at this point either. So you can see it's kind of a lot of the fringe players. You know, I've tried to set up my team as to let's lock in the gun players, and around that, let's see what we can build. But try to have a good solid spine of good halfbacks, good fullbacks, a gun 5'8", and then let's fill in the gaps around that. So that's my current team. I'll try to put one more updated team reveal from next week after we've got those round one team lists, because at the moment what I'm committing to for players that will get locked out this weekend with the Vegas games at the moment is really only Jai Arrow and Terrell May. We don't really, and Piakura, of course, I should say him as well. So not positions where there's a lot of money in them, so that I still hopefully have some flexibility to change things up in my team next week's once we get full the full information for all teams. That's kind of what I'm thinking at the moment. But that's the team currently. Hopefully you all enjoyed the video. If you did, smash the thumbs up button. Do subscribe as well if you want to see more content. See you all in the next video.